Welcome to Indians Hot Stove Weekly on WTAM 1100, home of the Indians. Here's your host, Nick Camino.
Nick Camino is out. Pinch hitting is me, Will Burge. Got you for the next hour here, all across the Cleveland Indians radio network, as we break down the latest goings-on with your Wahoos. We got a great show coming up, too. We're going to talk to Dennis Maniloff from the Cleveland Plain Dealer and Cleveland.com. Kind of get a little primer for spring training. We're only 15 days away from pitchers and catchers reporting. Can almost feel it. I can almost feel it because I'm going to Arizona. I can't wait to get out of the cold. But you know what that means? Pitchers and catchers report. That means the warm weather is right around the corner. So we'll talk to Dennis Maniloff about that in just about, I'd say about 7 or 8 minutes from now. A little bit later on the show as well, we'll be joined by Joel Hammond from the Cleveland Indians organization. Because I want to ask him, A, about Tribe Fest and how everything went with that. B, about the team gearing up to go out to Goodyear, Arizona. But also this new face of the MLB thing they have going on, where they've been going at it with teams on Twitter. So I got to find out all the behind the scenes going on with that. We'll talk to Joel Hammond a little bit later on in the show. There's also the winner report card for the Cleveland Indians released by Sports Illustrated earlier today. So we'll dive into that a little bit. Yesterday. We'll dive into that a little bit and some interesting news and notes coming out of that, including some news about Jason Giambi. Some positive news about Jason Giambi. So we'll talk about that as well. And try to break down this Corey Kluber contract extension a little bit as well, and whether or not they're going to be able to reach that with him. Paul Hoynes of Cleveland Plain Dealer had a great piece the other day about the pros and cons of a contract extension with him and what exactly it would do for the team. So we'll dive in all that. We got all that and much, much more between now and 8 o'clock. Now and 9 o'clock. Wow, creeping up on me here. So between now and 9 o'clock, plenty to talk about, plenty to do. So keep it locked right here. You're listening to the Indians Hot Stove Weekly Show all along the Cleveland Indians Radio Network.
Total Tribe coverage continues with Indians Hot Stove Weekly on WTAM 1100, home of the Indians. Here again is Nick Camino.
Nick is out. Will Burge pinch hitting this evening, taking you up until 9 o'clock. All across the Cleveland Indians radio network. Still to come in the show, we'll get you some news and notes in the second half of the hour. We'll also talk to Joel Hammond from the Cleveland Indians. I want to find out about this face of the MLB thing they're doing on Twitter. Indians going at it with other organizations. I love it. But right now, we got to go out to the hotline and welcome in my pal, one of the best in the business from the Plain Dealer in Cleveland.com. It's Dennis Maniloff. How are we feeling, Dennis?
Hey, Will. I just want to apologize in advance. I'm not feeling all that great, but so I hope you can put up with my voice.
No, hey, it's you, so I'll put up with it. And I'll tell you what, you're playing injured. That's more we could say for a lot of the professional athletes in the business. So, hey, I appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm glad I'm doing radio and not TV because I am not equipped to be in front of the camera.
Well, hey, neither am I. That's why I do radio. So there you go. I'll tell you what. We're just over 2 weeks away. Pitchers and catchers reporting. You know, as soon as that happens, it starts to feel like warm weather's around the corner. What do you think are the most interesting storylines that you're going to be looking at as we head into spring training here?
Regarding the Indians,
yes,
specifically over the Major League Baseball. You know, with the Indians, I want to see how the back end of the rotation is formed. I'm slotting Carrasco in the two hole behind Kluber, and then probably Floyd in the three hole. So I want to see what happens in that four and five spot situation. I know Bauer's been projected for one of those, but I want to see how he progresses. And then, of course, the five spot battle between presumably Salazar and House. Definitely interested in the shortstop. I understand that, you know, Lindor's ETA is probably not coming out of spring training, but I want to see how he performs, and see if he can push Ramirez at the shortstop position. Definitely be interested in the health of several of these guys. Michael Bourne, obviously Moss, Nick Swisher. Let's see how those guys are responding and what their timetables are once they hit the ground running.
Dennis Maniloff fighting off the flu and helping us out here on the Indians Hot Stove Show. And all right, so you mentioned the pitching rotation, and I think Gavin Floyd is one of the most interesting stories heading into this. I mean, it's an interesting contract they got him signed to. He basically has to hit 19 starts for the escalators to kick in and him start getting his big money. How much belief do you have in him and being able to make that rotation and staying in there? And then also, you mentioned Carrasco slot as the number two. Are we going to see something similar to the second half of last year with him, or do you think he's going to come back down to earth a little bit?
Well, where Floyd is concerned, he really is a wild card because, you know, you're not sure about his injury situation. I mean, it seems like he's going to be okay, but you never know. So he is a wild card in the sense of, well, what is his health like? When I remember Gavin Floyd, it was as a White Sox pitcher, and he was pretty good. So, and I don't think he's that far removed from that success. So I think he can be a viable member of the rotation. As long as, you know, you don't put too much expectations on him. Regarding Carrasco, another one I hate to hedge with you, Will, but, you know, we really don't know. I mean, I don't think that a second half is a fluke necessarily,
yeah.
Okay, as opposed to one start or two starts. He proved it over, you know, a bunch of starts and that he could get batters out, and not only that, he could do it in dominant fashion. It is very possible that Carlos Carrasco has turned the corner and has finally realized the potential that we all felt he had for years and years and years. I guess it is also possible that the end of last year was an aberration, and maybe he comes back to earth, as you say. Going into spring training, you're always optimistic. So I'd like to believe that the light went on for Carlos Carrasco, that he was able to simplify his delivery out of the stretch, and that he now has a tremendous amount of confidence, which wasn't there in the past because he didn't have the results to breed the confidence. Now he has the confidence, and I think that will allow him to continue to build off what he did last year.
Yeah, that's the interesting point, because I think it was always mental with him, and it was a confidence issue. And you saw it end of last season. The better he pitched, the better he would pitch the next time out, because you could just see the confidence building in him. If he's able to carry that over to this year, I mean, that could be, you know, he was so lights out at the end of this year, last year, he could be a huge, huge piece in that rotation.
Yes, well, you definitely, you could see a Kluber Carrasco 1-2 punch, and you start to get excited. And here's the thing, you know, I think Carrasco heard from so many people, including his teammates and manager and coaches, that he was so good and he had so much talent. But it was never, you know, it was never translating on the field, so he couldn't, you know, any confidence he would draw would be false confidence. But now he has this track record, and he saw what happens when he puts it together. And so he can say, you know what, I have every right to be as good a pitcher as anybody else in this league. And, you know, I have the stuff to get people out. I now have the delivery to get people out. I have a great catcher, a great receiver in Yan Gomes. So I have everything I need. And of course, a great pitching coach in Mickey Callaway. So I have everything I need to be an elite caliber starting pitcher.
Dennis Mantiloff from the Cleveland Plain Dealer joining us. You mentioned Corey Kluber, and Hoynsey put up a piece about the pros and cons of a possible Corey Kluber contract extension. Do you think that will get done, or is that something that we're going to be talking about for a while and they might table once we hit spring training?
I think it's going to take a little while to figure this one out, because Kluber, you know, if I'm Kluber's camp, I definitely explore the opportunity to get some guaranteed cash, because, you know, pitching is such a crapshoot. You know, even the great ones are susceptible to one pitch, you know, that can pop the elbow ligament or tear the rotator cuff. So if I'm a pitcher in Kluber's situation, I'm definitely exploring the opportunity to get guaranteed money. However, I don't want to shortchange myself if I believe that I'm on the cusp of a long and extended run. I don't want them to get me at a bargain basement price. If you're the Indians, you know, it works kind of in reverse. You know, you want to get the guy under your control at a reasonable cost. So it's going to take, I think, some time to sort this through. I don't think it'll be a distraction per se, but I do think it'll be one of the storylines in spring training.
Yeah, I can't see it being a distraction either, just because of his personality. He's not the type of guy who's going to talk about it. He's going to defer things when asked about it. And he's going to go about his business as normal. Because you just, I mean, you can't shake him on the field. You can't shake that guy off the field either.
Correct. And I'm sure he's told his representatives, look, you know, I'm going to focus on the season, and you guys handle it with Antonetti and Shapiro or whoever else is involved in the negotiations. You handle it with them and leave me out of it. And then, you know, you come to me when it gets serious enough that I have to make the decision on the numbers. But otherwise, let me concentrate on getting ready for the season. And I agree with you, Will. He's very capable of compartmentalizing. That's one of the reasons why he is so good, is because he can focus. You know, his narrow focus is so intense. So it shouldn't be a problem.
Dennis Manilow from the Cleveland Plain Dealer joining us here on the Cleveland Indians Hot Stove Weekly Show. Staying with the pitching, but going to the bullpen, we've heard the rumors that the Indians would like to bolster that, get a little depth out there. Do you think they'll do something, you know, breed somebody out of the minor leagues, you know, a minor league deal somebody, try to get somebody up that way, or do you see them making a little bit bigger splash? I know Sports Illustrated had mentioned, you know, Francisco Rodriguez out there is a right-handed arm with some closing experience who, if anything went wrong, they could always go over to. Do you think they're going to go that route or try to go a little cheaper on that?
I think they'll go, and I'll use the word inexpensive. You know,
inexpensive, yeah.
I don't want to make them sound like they're pinching pennies in this particular case, but I think they'll go the inexpensive route, the in-house route.
Well, especially because it's depth.
It's depth, and it's also the bullpen. I mean, you got to remember that the organizational philosophy that the Indians have had for years is that you don't overpay for your relievers. Now, obviously, the cynic will come back and say, well, what about a guy like John Axford and whatnot? Yeah. But even that contract, you know, it wasn't outrageous in terms of money. So it certainly didn't work out, but it wasn't a ridiculously high amount of money. So they have been burned a few times here and there, but overall their philosophy is not to overpay on the back end of the bullpen. So if you're going to add, it's going to be inexpensive, and it's most likely going to be in-house.
You know, I've been saying for the past couple of weeks that I'm particularly excited for this season because, you know, every year you have the question marks, if this happens, if this happens, if this happens, the Indians can be in contention the entire season. Yeah, that's just the way it works at this level of an organization in this market. But I think those ifs and the question marks are fewer than they've been in since the last time they made the playoffs, probably. Do you feel that same way?
You know what, Will, to an extent, but I would disagree in this regard. There are plenty of important players on this team who have injury questions, and they need to be answered. And that's why I think there are more questions than maybe you think there are. And in a sense that, and I look at that regular lineup, and I got to see Moss. Is he 100%? How, you know, how's the hip? Is he going to have? Is he going to be the Brandon Moss we're used to? What, if anything, are they going to get out of Swisher, and when? What about Jason Kipnis and the finger? You know, is the finger going to be fine? And even if the finger is fine, how is he otherwise? How's the oblique? How's everything else? Because he's such a critical piece. Michael Bourne, you know, he's going to be at the top. I mean, you're talking about Bourne and Kipnis, two guys who I think are critical to the success of this team at the top of the order. Both of them need to have, you know, good to very good years for the Indians to have success, and you're not sure about either one of them. I mean, how is Borney's hamstring? Is he going to be, you know, is he ever going to be able to approach what he used to be? And so I just think there are a bunch of issues, especially with the everyday lineup, that have, you know, enough gray area that I'm not quite bullish on the Indians yet.
Yeah, and I think that's just the natural, you know, beginning of spring training. Everyone optimistic, as you said earlier, and I'd like to think that you're going to get something more out of Nick Swisher. I'd like to think you're going to get something more out of Michael Bourne. But you're right, with their injury history of a lot of these guys, you really got to be worried about it. I think it's safer to say someone like Jason Kipnis will probably be able to bounce back because he's a little bit younger, and so near those solid seasons that he was having.
Sure, and you could divide up the Indian situation and the position player front in two parts. One is guys coming back from injury, and the other one is, you know, guys trying to respond and improve on maybe average to below average seasons. And then in some senses those dovetail, because Michael Bourne he wasn't healthy and he didn't perform particularly well, so they were tied together. If he's healthy, will he automatically return to a viable leadoff man who disrupts, you know, the other team? Jason Kipnis, assuming he's healthy, where does Jason Kipnis fall performance-wise? Is he the Kipnis of last year, or is he the Kipnis of 2 years ago? I think we're still too early in his career to know for sure. That's a huge question mark. What about third base? Assuming they stay with Lonnie Chisenhall, what kind of a player is Lonnie Chisenhall? Is he going to be improved defensively just by virtue of experience? And what about at the plate? You know, what kind of a hitter is Lonnie Chisenhall? I don't think we know at this point. There are interesting guys around the diamond that you don't feel like you can slot quite yet. People, unlike, for example, Michael Brantley or Yan Gomes, I think, and even Carlos Santana, you have a pretty good idea of what you're going to get from those guys. But there's several positions out there that are up in the air.
Dennis Manilow from the Cleveland Plain Dealer joining us here for just a couple more minutes. There's this nugget that came out in the Sports Illustrated report card for the Indians, and it says that Jason Giambi's been offered a non-playing role within the organization, and he's been heralded as that's why they had him on the team. He was the glue guy. They loved him. He's the old man in the clubhouse. How big would it be for the Indians if they're able to get this guy within the organization in this type of role?
I guess it would be important, Will. I mean, I don't know. As long as it's important to Terry Francona, it's fine by me. If Francona has a comfort level with him, then that's great, because I think that Terry Francona, with no disrespect to any of his players, but Francona is the most valuable asset this organization has right now, because I think he's critical to this team having any kind of success. So if Francona has a comfort level with him, likes him, and believes that he can be an important piece, then that's fine. If Francona doesn't, then that's fine too. I just don't think that he's worth having a roster spot for as a player. But if something can be worked out, as a non-playing in a non-role, then great.
Dennis Manilow, thank you so much. Fought through the hoarse voice and killed it, my man. You killed it.
Well, I apologize again. I'm sorry.
No, you're good. You're good. Thanks. I always appreciate having you on, and thanks for taking the time, man.
Thanks, Will.
There he is. Dennis Manilow from the Cleveland Plain Dealer. Love D-Man's. D-Man's World. Read his stuff. Very good. His coverage during spring training is unbelievable, by the way. Love it. All right, we got to get a break in, get to the bottom of the hour news, and when we come back, we'll get you your news and notes from around Major League Baseball and with the Indians. We'll dive into this Paul Hoynes piece about the pros and cons of a possible Corey Kluber contract extension. Say that five times fast. And we'll also talk to Joel Hammond from the Cleveland Indians next half hour as well. All that and more as you're listening to the Cleveland Indians Hot Stove Weekly, all on the Cleveland Indians Radio Network.
Total Tribe coverage continues with Indians Hot Stove Weekly on WTAM 1100, home of the Indians. Here again is Nick Camino.
Nick Camino is out. Will Burge pinch hitting this evening. Got you for another half hour. Take you up until 9 o'clock. All across the Cleveland Indians Radio Network, we'll talk to Joel Hammond from the Cleveland Indians organization. Coming up here in about 10 minutes, I want to talk a little about spring training, a little bit about Tribe Fest. All that good stuff. Face of the MLB. But right now, we got to get to our news and notes. So let's take a look. There's not a whole lot going on with the Indians themselves. I mean, we're about two weeks out from pitchers and catchers reporting. Everyone's going to be heading out to Goodyear. There's not a whole lot going on with them. The only real newsy thing is Keith Law from ESPN.com put out his top 100 prospects for the Indians. And three of them made the list. Francisco Lindor at number 6, still very highly regarded. We might actually end up seeing him at the major league level this year. Brad Zimmer checked in at 86 for the Indians. And Clint Frazier at 92. He was 45 last year. So I'm wondering what the big drop for him was. That's 47 spots. So I wonder what the big drop was. They didn't really give an explanation as to why, but then again, when you're making an article about 100 prospects, I guess you can't really give an explanation on everybody. But there you go, Keith Law from ESPN.com. Francisco Lindor is number 6 prospect in his top 100. Brad Zimmer, number 86. Clint Frazier, number 92. Chris Bryant from the Cubs was the number 1 prospect in baseball. He's a third baseman. Some other news and notes from around Major League Baseball. Josh Hamilton of the Angels will undergo surgery on his shoulder. He's going to be out 3 to 8 weeks. Tomorrow they're going to do the surgery. They said they held off on this because he really just started having symptoms recently. It's not a good sign for a 33-year-old who is just in his third season of his 5-year, $125 million deal from the Angels. Really, I mean, it's tough to say, but he hasn't really lived up to that money just yet. So he's going to undergo surgery on his shoulder. He missed, 20 games, I believe, at the end of the Angels' season. So I'm trying to get him back healthy. How about this? Andrew Jones, a blast from the past. He's targeting return to Major League Baseball. His agent, Scott Boras, told ESPN.com on Monday. He's played in Japan for 2 years. He's 37 years old. And remember, he's a 5-time All-Star, won 10 gold gloves. He played for the Yankees, the Rangers, the Dodgers, the White Sox. You gotta think someone's probably going to take a swing on him here, at least in spring training, to see what he's got after playing 2 seasons out there in Seattle. In Japan. In Seattle, actually, the Seahawks may have lost the Super Bowl, and Russell Wilson may have thrown an interception to do so at the end of the game, but that's not going to stop him from going to Texas Rangers spring training. Now, he was, if you remember, he was drafted by the Rangers in the 2013 Rule 5 draft. He has again accepted an offer to appear at the Rangers training complex in Surprise, Arizona. Now, this is, it's just one of those fun things, basically. He's not actually trying out for the team or anything, but it's an interesting storyline, especially right after, off the heels of throwing that interception at the end of the Super Bowl. You got to get your mind off it somehow, right? Go take some BP out in Arizona. Why not? And how about this? A name that fans in Cleveland definitely not happy with. John Axford agrees to a minor league contract with the Colorado Rockies. Yes, that John Axford, who was 2-4 with a 3.95 ERA in 62 games with Cleveland and Pittsburgh last year. He did not do well here in Cleveland. Not well whatsoever. But John Axford headed to the Rockies, gets a $2.6 million 1-year contract if he's added to the 40-man roster and also has a chance to earn some performance bonuses. Well, I quickly want to get to this Paul Hoynes piece on examining the pros and cons of a potential Corey Kluber contract extension. And that's going to be a point of contention throughout all of spring training. I mean, we're going to be talking about it. Whether it gets done or not, they want to lock this guy up. And I'm sure he wants to get some money, as Dennis Manilow talked about before. I mean, he only made about $500,000 last year, and he's the Cy Young Award winner. So they probably want to lock up some guaranteed cash because, as Dennis Manilow said, one pitch, and all of a sudden your entire course of your career could change. But he listed the pros. A pitcher's elbow is on borrowed time, with something we just talked about. And what if Kluber peaked in 2014? So you want to strike while the iron is hot. The cons would be, though, you'd think he'd want to bet on himself, because if he takes the contract extension now, he probably is going to be leaving quite a bit of money on the table. If the Indians wait till he gets all the way to free agency, they obviously wouldn't even be able to bid for this guy. He's going to be so much money, he'd go to a larger market most likely. So they have to lock him up early. But if Kluber takes that extension and has another big season, he probably is leaving a couple million at least on the table. Also, he said he might delay when he become a free agent. They already control him for the next 4 years. Does he want to have that delay to take another year or two on his contract? Or does he want to explore the free agent market in 4 years? And does he want to stay in a small market? That's the other con that Paul Hoynes mentioned in his article on Cleveland.com. Very good stuff. Go check that out. Very interesting read there as well. And also go check out the winner report card for the Cleveland Indians on Sports Illustrated, SI.com. Very good stuff there as well. All right, we're going to get a break in. When we come back, we'll talk to Joel Hammond from the Cleveland Indians. I want to talk about spring training, which is right around the corner. Kind of take a look back at Tribe Fest a little bit, talk about how that went. And also the face of the MLB. Do we see a picture of Corey Kluber rescuing another player from flames somewhere? It's been fun to watch on Twitter. If you haven't checked it out, we'll talk to Joel about it when we come back. You're listening to the Indians Hot Stove Weekly, all along Cleveland Indians Radio Network.
Total Tribe coverage continues with Indians Hot Stove Weekly on WTAM 1100, home of the Indians. Here again is Nick Camino.
Camino is off. Will Bird's pinch hitting today. Special thanks to Dennis Maniloff for joining us in the last half hour. Very good stuff from him. Check him out on Cleveland.com. Make sure you go checking out Paul Hoynes' piece as well, the pros and cons of a possible Corey Kluber contract extension. That's also on Cleveland.com. And if you're wondering where those Keith Law prospect rankings I mentioned before, those are on ESPN.com. I think you got to be an insider for that one, but it's worth the subscription, especially during baseball season. A lot of good hot stove stuff happening there. All right, let's head back out to the phone lines, though. Got to welcome in another special guest, my buddy Joel Hammond from the Cleveland Indians. What's going on, Joel?
Hello, Will. How are you?
Good, very good. What are you heading into now? Your third season with the Indians?
My third year. And apologies in advance if I start coughing. I'm battling seemingly what everybody else is battling.
Yeah, I'm feeling it a little bit. Dennis Maniloff sounded like he was chewing on gravel during our interview, but he fought through it. So I appreciate you fighting through it and coming on as well.
Yeah, we're playing through some nicks. It's the middle of the season. We got a couple bumps and bruises. We got to make it through it, right?
Exactly. So tell me, how are you loving it over there? I know you are. That was a job you were hoping to get. You got it. You're going in your third year. You feeling comfortable over there now?
Absolutely, yeah. It's been a whirlwind. You know, my first, I accepted the job in November of 2012. A month later, we signed Nick Swisher. 2 months later, we signed Michael Bourne. We made the playoffs, and obviously last year, we're in it to the last weekend of the year. So my friends like to tell me that I have made a difference, of course. My arrival has really turned the tide. Of course, I think there's a lot of people in town that would argue that other factors were at play as well.
I don't know. If Terry Francona gets enough credit, I think you deserve some. It's all you. All right, so I wanted to ask you, let's first look back at Tribe Fest. And it was, I tell people, that was the first time I'd been there since they were doing the mall tours. I thought it was unbelievable. It gets bigger and better every single year. What did you guys take away from it?
Yeah, I mean, so it's grown each year, and our biggest crowd yet this year, over 8,000 folks came on the couple days of the event. And actually, this year we were a little pinched. You know, the last couple of years we've been able to use parts of the ballpark that we weren't able to this year, obviously with the right field construction. So we were a little pinched, but we thought it turned out well. Our players raved about the event; they love coming back for it, and our fans love to interact very closely with our players. So, looking forward to building on it again for 2016 now.
All right, so yeah, it was a great experience, and that's fantastic. But the warm weather's around the corner. You probably can't wait to get to Goodyear. I mean, it was as fun as that was, it was still like 2 degrees outside of what was going on.
Yeah, what is it? It's 15 days now until our pitchers and catchers report. We're counting down in the office. There's a lot of great stuff that goes on there. So the 18th is when the pitchers and catchers report. Their first workout is the 20th. Position players report on the 22nd. And the first full squad workout is the 24th, and my arrival is the 4th of March. So I'm
That's the important date. Exactly. That's the important one.
Yeah.
Hey, there's always optimism heading into seasons, I mean, for everybody, but especially in a front office. But I at least personally feel particularly good about this roster going into this year. Is that kind of the sentiment around the organization as well?
Yeah, I think so. You know, we hear from at least a small segment of our fan base that, you know, every year wants to win the off season, right? Wants to sign the big name. Well, we were, and Terry and Chris say this a lot, we were in a unique position. We didn't have to go out and sign 4 guys like other teams in our division did. We were in a good spot. We had 23 guys coming back. We made, we made 2 additions that we think are going to address what weaknesses we did have. One was power with Brandon Moss, an all-star last year, and the second was Gavin Floyd, who's going to add, a proven veteran to our rotation to give some of those young guys maybe a little bit more of a chance to mature. So very excited, and I don't think anybody's hiding from the fact that our division has gotten better. We're excited about that too, and we think we've got a good shot.
And as far as we're talking to Joel Hammond from the Cleveland Indians, as far as the renovations go, when do I get to my tacos and my beer at the new bar? That's what I want. That's what I want to know.
Yeah, well, I mean, we're optimistic and hopeful, and all signs indicate that our dramatic right field project will be done by opening day.
Cubs
came out recently and said their project would not be done until May 1st. By all indications, we will not have to go down that road. And it was aggressive from the start. And despite the fact that we've had some issues here weather-wise in the last month or so, I think, you know, we got started right after the season ended in late September. Unfortunately, too early, but we got started right after the season ended. And October, November, December were pretty mild, I think, by Northeast Ohio standards. So we're able to lay a lot of the groundwork, and we just need the ground to thaw. That's the biggest issue.
Yeah.
You know, getting a lot of that gate fee stuff done requires, you know, being able to drill into the ground and that sort of thing. So we just need the ground to thaw, and I think we'll have enough time to do so.
But you worry about Gatesy. I'll worry about Barrio and the new beer you guys are going to have in there. How about that?
Yeah, so it's been a whirlwind couple weeks with TriFest and that announced. So January 21st, we announced Barrio and Melt and Sweet Moses will be in the ballpark. So part of our new right field district out there near Gate C. So April 10th, those hopefully will be up and running. You'll be able to, only place in town, you'll be able to watch the Indians live and also get your Melt sandwich or Barrio tacos or Sweet Moses ice cream. So we're very excited. Our fans have been very excited about that too. It's funny, well, we announced that on January 21st of 2015. Last January 21st, 2014, we announced that Omar Vizquel would be inducted into our Hall of Fame. And the food announcement, metrics, site, website traffic, email open rates, was higher for the food announcement than it was for Omar Vizquel's Hall of Fame announcement. I think that shows you the kind of excitement we have about that announcement.
Of course it is. It's Cleveland. People love food here.
That's right.
Especially when you're throwing names around like Barrio and Melt.
Sure.
We're talking to Joel Hamm from the Cleveland. He's very excited about that project as well. But I got to ask you about this. So I'm on Twitter the other day, and I see the Indians account, at Indians, just tweeting away and firing back and forth with the Tampa Bay Rays. And I'm like, what the heck is going on here? So there's this hashtag face of MLB, and Corey Kluber just knocked off Evan Longoria, correct?
Yeah, so MLB Network runs this contest every year, and I think our fans are probably somewhat sick of seeing us tweet about Corey Kluber. We've done a lot. We did it last summer with the All-Star Final vote. And now he is our representative in MLB Network's Face of MLB contest. And what it is, it's like a bracket-style March Madness-type competition where our guy goes up against another team's guy on certain days, and the team's fan base that tweets the most about it wins. And on Friday, we beat Evan Longoria from Tampa Bay. So on February 13th, you'll see that pop up again. We'll be tweeting hashtag Corey Kluber, hashtag Face of MLB. He takes on Chase Utley from the Phillies in the next round. So pardon our tweeting, over-dramatic tweeting there for 24-hour stretches, but all the help we can get, we'll take.
You know, it's funny because it kind of got its life of its own, and it started, then people had like GIFs, and they said maybe you forgot Evan Longoria got all these hits off Kluber, and they're like, oh yeah, singles, and you guys put a GIF out of him hitting a single. I just thought it was hilarious, and Todd even brought up, I forgot about that, there was the picture of Kluber saving Longoria from like a burning house or something. It kind of took on a life of its own.
Yeah, our followers get pretty creative, and we like to too. It's fun, and again, I think it's something that MLB Network, to their credit and to MLB's credit, you know, and these are the days where kind of you're itching to get to spring training. It's kind of like a, you know, it's a downtime. So this is a way to kind of keep baseball top of mind and in the conversation. It certainly helps us too, because our social media followers are certainly very active and very supportive generally. So they like to get involved in that sort of thing. And we have to apologize, I guess, to the Rays the day after. We try not to get too personal, but yeah. We got a little feisty when they had a highlight of Longoria getting a single off of Kluber. So we tweeted back, Kluber can do that too. He got a hit against Arizona in June in interleague play. So. Yeah, it's fun, gets a little feisty, but it's all in good fun, I think.
Joel Hamm from the Indians joining us. So be looking out for that. You said February 13th, correct?
I'm sorry?
February 13th is the next round?
Yeah, Chase Utley. Next Friday is Kluber versus Utley. So follow us on Twitter at Indians, on Instagram, on Snapchat now, on Facebook, and that's how you can find out how to vote in that contest.
All over the social medias. All right, before I let you go, Joel, I'm pouring over this promo schedule for 2015. And of course, you got your Dollar Dog Nights and the fireworks and all that fun stuff. Still, I think one of the most underrated days here is the Weather Education Day. Love that, by the way. But I'm looking at this, and two things jump out at me. One is the Francona Red Scooter bobblehead, and the second one is the Sandy Alomar 1995 jersey. Sandy Alomar was my favorite player growing up as a kid. I'm excited for that one.
Yeah, so at TribeFest last Saturday, we released our 2015 promo schedule. One of my, even before I worked for the Indians, one of my favorite days. It's my favorite day for the Cavs and all the other minor league teams to unveil their promo schedules. Yeah, this year we've got four bobbleheads: Kluber, Santana, Brantley, and we've got this Terry Francona Red Scooter bobblehead. As most of our fans probably know, he lives downtown, so doesn't want to deal with traffic. He just rides the scooter to the ballpark. He parks it outside of his office at the clubhouse. So we're going to memorialize that, I think, with a bobblehead. And then, like you said, this year is the 20th anniversary, obviously, of our 95 World Series team. Michael Bournemann had a good comment at TriFest. They're not trying to be like that team. They're trying to do one better than that team this year, which I thought was pretty cool. But, we'll be honoring that team all year long. We've got a Hargrove jersey. Like you said, we've got an Alomar jersey. June 19th through the 21st, we'll honor the 95 team at the ballpark. So it'll be kind of a year-long thing where we'll remember those great that great year and those great players. And also, like Michael Bourne said, hopefully try and do them one better this year.
All right, Joel, thanks so much for joining us. Looking forward to all those giveaways and looking forward to some baseball start here in just a couple weeks, man.
Okay, well, thanks for the time.
Take care. There he is, Joel Hammond from the Cleveland Indians. Tons of good stuff there. And we are done. We are out of here. Got to take off, but I want to thank you for listening and tuning in. And once again, just 15 days away from pitchers and catchers reporting. Oh, you could feel spring right around the corner. That's right. You've been listening to the Indians Hot Stove Weekly Show all along the Cleveland Indians Radio Network.
Indian fever. Each game is a brand new beginning. It's the hits, the homers, the double plays. It's how you feel when we win. So catch Indian fever.
Be a believer
with the Cleveland.